Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Additional funding provided by the Leo Cox Beach Philanthropic Foundation. Winner of a New York State Emmy for Best Political Program. This is a New York Now special edition. Governor Andrew Cuomo, the first two terms.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt Ryan. In November of 2018, Governor Andrew Cuomo won himself a third term. Once known more as the son of Mario, Cuomo earned himself the reputation as a hard-charging politician who has passed some significant pieces of progressive legislation. But no doubt, his time in office has had its share of controversy as well. For the next half hour, using old episodes of New York Now and new interviews with journalists and Capitol observers, we'll examine the first two terms for a man that, through all the highs and lows, has still proven to be popular with residents of the Empire State. But to understand how Andrew Cuomo came to be a three-term governor, it's important to explain how he got here to the state capitol in the first place.
So help me God.
So help me God.
People thought that Elliot Spitzer was going to be the great white knight in 2006 when he ran.
Day one of our time for change has arrived.
Unfortunately, day two, everything went right back and got even worse.
To every New Yorker and to all those who believed in what I tried to stand for, I sincerely apologize.
Within a year, he was out. He had to resign over this sex scandal that shocked everybody. His lieutenant governor, David Patterson, came in. And Patterson, you know, a great guy, well-respected, but not totally equipped to be governor.
I'm going to address this issue for the last time.
He lost control of the legislature. We had the Senate coup during his reign.
This is not only bipartisan, this is bilingual now, guys.
And also, it was the Great Recession. New York had this $10 billion budget deficit, and Patterson had to scramble to try to deal with that. And I think the public looked at Albany at that point and said, you know, what's going on here? Everybody just seems incompetent.
I can't believe what's happened to New York's government. The dysfunction, the corruption, the embarrassment. It is hurting all of us. We need to clean up Albany now.
Cuomo, a Democrat, the son of the liberal icon Mario Matthew Cuomo, comes in as sort of this centrist figure. The new Democratic Party of Andrew Cuomo is going to reduce taxes and it's going to rein in spending.
We start off at the top of the ticket, where Andrew Cuomo, as expected, cruise to an easy victory over Republican Carl Paladino.
Let's go do it. Thank you and God bless you. Thank you.
I, Andrew M. Cuomo.
I, Andrew M. Cuomo.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear. I want to rebuild this government. Rebuild it by bringing back competence. Rebuild it by bringing back integrity. Rebuild the government to be what this government was and what this government needs to be once again. That's what this administration is going to be all about.
He wanted to restore that sense of normalcy to the Capitol, and it boils down to the fact that chaos is not Cuomonian. It's the first law of Andrew Cuomo that he wants control, he doesn't want uncertainty. This sense of functionality and forward motion was what he would bring to the table, and voters craved it, saw it, and gave him very, very high marks.
The other big story of the week, the approval numbers for Andrew Cuomo.
Who do you trust more, Governor Cuomo or the state legislature to do the right thing for New York? Not even close. 68% to 17% say they trust Cuomo.
Because of that budget deficit, he had to make really some tough stances when it came to school spending, when it came to union contracts that were up in his first year. So that really put him at odds with real powerful interests in Albany.
He knows how to be a statesman. He knows how to publicly commend legislators and give them credit for things. And he's also got a reputation as someone who's a bit of a bully himself. You need to have someone who knows how to work with the legislature, but also knows how to push them around a little bit.
You really don't want to do it? Good. Well, then I'll send you a bill. It'll be an extended bill. You don't want to do it? Don't pass it. Shut down the government, and then let's take the case to the people. and I am confident in taking the case to the people.
Hello, I'm Governor Cuomo, and I wanted you to know that we passed the New York State budget, and we passed it on time for the first time in years.
Symbolically, to come in his first year and get that budget done on time after in 2010, it wasn't completed until August, almost one of the latest budgets in state history. And that for Cuomo to come in, get the budget on time, really show New Yorkers that New York was on the right track.
We are solving a $10 billion deficit with no new taxes. That is a remarkable accomplishment.
I think he did pretty well. I can't think of any governors in recent times who've gotten that much in their first budget.
After that, he set three very ambitious goals of significant ethics reform, passing a property tax cap that was badly needed, and of course, same-sex marriage, which had eluded David Paterson, had failed in the Senate. And he got all three of them.
We talk about cleaning up Albany. This bill is actually going to do it. It is unprecedented disclosure. And I am a big believer in disclosure.
It was with great pleasure that I introduce our governor, a friend of the taxpayers of the state of New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo.
I think his single most significant legacy by far, certainly on any matter that's fiscal or touches upon the cost of government, perhaps the most significant fiscal legacy of any governor in decades is the property tax cap.
This is the Maroney's home, and you can't just keep raising taxes and expect the taxpayers to pay for it.
If previous trends had been replicated even at half the rate of previous trends going back decades, people would now be paying billions more.
For thousands of years, marriage has been between a man and a woman for very good reasons. It should not change. We are walking down a very perilous path, I think, when we do this.
There's been few times in my years here where you saw such a polarizing issue. I mean, just to think back to that, you had the third floor of the state capitol just packed with supporters, detractors of same-sex marriage, but failed a few years ago on the floor.
Senator Lisa. No.
But Cuomo was able to work behind the scenes effectively and really work with a few Senate Republicans who were on the fence to get them to come on board.
Even up to the night of the vote, which is a Friday night, we're not totally sure that that was going to pass.
I have to define doing the right thing as treating all persons with equality.
Ayes 33, nays 29.
The Capitol just erupted into this jubilation like I've never seen there before. And you have all these cavernous halls and stairways, and everybody was laughing and crying and shouting and rejoicing. It was really, really quite a moment.
I was leaving the Capitol one day in an elevator, and this group of people came in really well-dressed. And I said, wow, you're really well-dressed. What's going on? They said, oh, we're going to a wedding. And I said, oh, where are you from? They said, Wyoming. And I said, Wyoming, why are you getting married here? And they said, because we can't get married in our state. And it really hit me, the significance of that vote.
There's talk of you running for president in 2016. Would you, and is there any comment on that?
We're going to make it work because it's New York, and we're going to make it work.
Andrew Cuomo is a fiscal centrist, and he purposefully gave Republicans fiscal issues, platforms, and stances that they could support.
This is an honest and that is a disciplined budget. There is no sale of state assets, no one-shots, no new fees, no new taxes.
You know, that really changed in 2013 with the SAFE Act.
No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer, and too many innocent people have died already. End the madness now.
The SAFE Act came in the wake of the Newtown school shootings, and Governor Cuomo wanted to have some new gun control laws on the books. And it did pass in the middle of the night. It goes back to the question of transparency in government. Should there have been more debate, even opportunity for lawmakers to actually spend some time reading the bill?
Don't question it, just vote. That's basically the message here. If that's not dictatorial, I don't know what is.
Hitler would be proud. Mussolini would be proud of what we did here. Moscow would be proud. But that's not democracy.
We will not comply. We will not comply. We will not comply.
State police estimated there were 5,000 people in West Capitol Park Thursday afternoon to protest the New York Safe Act.
We have a constitutional right to bear arms, and that's what this is all about.
Almost overnight, he loses that base of Republican support that had supported him for his moderate fiscal policies, that cheered him as he pushed through a cap on local property tax increases, that saw him competently managing the response to tropical storms Lee and Irene and downstate to Superstorm Sandy.
A 48-point swing in his favorability rating among Republicans in 2 months. What happened in that 2-month period? The SAFE Act. He lost Republicans there. He never got them back.
Former Senate Majority Leader Malcolm Smith had been arrested in an alleged bribery scheme. Just 48 hours later, Assemblyman Eric Stevenson was charged by federal authorities. Stevenson was arrested thanks to the help of his fellow Assemblyman Nelson Castro.
In 2013, those convictions and those investigations and indictments, the governor at the time argued that this was an golden opportunity to revisit the ethics issue, and that if they did not, he threatened to create a Moreland Commission with powers to look at corruption in New York State.
With the credibility of this commission, you can go a long way towards restoring that public trust.
He thought that he could rattle their cage by starting this commission that would investigate potential corruption. But he also thought that he could control the commission.
It was not a good news cycle for Governor Andrew Cuomo as the New York Times released the results of a 3-month-long investigation into the now defunct Moreland Commission, and it revealed some possible meddling by the administration.
And there was one case where a subpoena went out to a company, an ad firm that the governor uses, and a day later it was pulled back because the governor's office, you know, went crazy on them. Before the election, he wanted to get this off the table. It was really becoming a hindrance and a liability. Plus, the legislature was mad, you know, was going to war with him. So he cut a deal, another ethics reform deal, and then he pulled the plug on the Moreland Commission, which then infuriated the U.S. attorney at the time, Preet Bharara, who started looking into different things, and it really blew up in his face.
The Moreland Commission became a big issue in the primary race against Zephyr Teachout and also in the general election battle with Rob Astorino, but it just never really developed any kind of momentum. I think his big pitch in 2014 was, I did it for you for 4 years, I'll do it for another four.
There are these giant rock formations underneath the southern tier of New York and into Pennsylvania. The big one's known as the Marcellus Shale, and it's jam-packed with natural gas. Along came high-volume hydraulic fracturing, horizontal. They drill down and then they blast water and chemicals into the shale formations to break it apart and free that natural gas.
I think the key is, how are they going to regulate it? Are they going to be able to regulate it to keep the drinking water safe? And that's the big question going ahead.
Come 2007, 2008, you had these land lease folks coming through on behalf of natural gas companies, offering people large amounts of money for the gas rights, the oil and gas rights to their land.
The goal of the process all along has been to identify the risks associated with high volume fracturing, to see if they could be mitigated in a way that protects the environment and allows this activity and the economic and energy benefits associated with it to move forward in New York. I think we've done that.
So it looked as if it were moving forward.
There is no known proven incident of hydrofracking contaminating any well water.
You cannot do business with the devil, and these companies are the devil.
That triggered another round of public comments and hearings, et cetera, and that really stirred up the anti-fracking base.
We are unstoppable. We're saved by man. It's possible.
It kind of became more and more apparent that yeah, he was going to kick this until after the election. And he did until right after the election.
Coming up on New York Now, after years of waiting for a decision on hydrofracking, New Yorkers finally have an answer from their government.
After looking at the plethora of reports, as you see behind me and others that I have in my office, my answer is no.
Andrew Cuomo hemmed and hawed back and forth, but now he has kind of embraced that anti-fracking role, you know, the fracking ban. He's embraced it. He said he's never going to overturn it because it's benefited him politically.
Hey, guys!
It was a big difference in the second term. He saw his primary challenge was Zephyr Teachout. He saw that she did better than anyone expected. He saw that his own showing was probably lower than he would have liked, and he tacked left.
We know there's opposition, but we're going to fight the good fight, and we're going to win.
He went with different issues, you know, the $15 minimum wage, paid family leave, all of a sudden a college tuition, a free college tuition program for some who, you know, people on the left say doesn't go far enough, but that was in the wake of the Bernie Sanders movement.
Public colleges and public universities, tuition free. Governor Cuomo, thank you so much.
I think that primaries are a really important way to hold elected officials accountable. Sometimes you win them, which is even better, but even when you lose them, it helps it forces elected officials to go out, talk to the voters, defend their record, and talk about what they're going to do if they get reelected. And I think in that process, we saw the governor really speak to the progressive things he had accomplished, but also the progressive things that he still needed to accomplish.
All right, you've no doubt heard about the water crisis going on in Flint, Michigan. Well, in upstate New York, along the Vermont border, they are having one of their own.
Our aquifer is poisoned. Mm-hmm. Is there a period of time known that will clean itself up, or is that permanent?
The Hoosic Falls water crisis came to light in December of 2015 when Brendan Lyons of the Times Union wrote about efforts by a local resident to examine the water quality in Hoosic Falls and the discovery that a substance called PFOA, which has been connected to lots of maladies, including cancer, had been detected in the town's drinking water.
The state health department knew that people were drinking contaminated water for well over a year. It's really unconscionable that they didn't tell people that they were drinking contaminated water and wouldn't tell people until the Environmental Protection Agency stepped in.
Do not cook with the water from the Hoosic Falls public water supply.
Tell us why you haven't been to Hoosic Falls.
The first question every time reporters talk to him after one of those events is about Hoosic Falls. I mean, this is obviously continuing to blow up. The state has, and Cuomo has given the same answer to our questions for weeks now, which is that it's the EPA's fault.
But it doesn't appear that its guidance.
Exactly. It doesn't appear that people are actually buying into that.
The governor only went to Hoosic Falls once at the last minute on a Sunday morning to announce that the carbon filtration system was going to start operating, which is terrific. He didn't meet with local residents. The state government in particular let down these people.
The arrest of Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver on federal corruption charges is the biggest political bomb to hit Albany since the fall of Elliot Spitzer.
We allege that Silver corruptly collected some $4 million in bribes and kickbacks. Senator Skelos and Adam Skelos worked as a team to illegally monetize the senator's power and influence.
It's really been a disaster for him because he came in saying, I'm going to restore trust in public government. Every time he turns around, a legislative leader is arrested, indicted.
The recovery period since the recession, which is basically equates to his tenure, upstate New York's job, private sector job growth has been weaker than all but three states in the union. It's near the bottom of the list.
He has firmly believed that particularly in upstate areas, the economy needed a jolt. It needed sort of an extra investment that government can make and that he has directed it to make.
We're ready to invest $1 billion in an economic development package for the city of Buffalo to bring business back.
I remember when he called me to let me know about the Buffalo Billion before he officially announced it. And I was like, did you say a billion?
I wound up getting my hands on the request for proposal, and
there was this clause in there that said to be eligible, you'd have to be a development company that's done business in Buffalo for 50 years. And I found out that, lo and behold, only one company fit that description, and it was a company owned by someone who was a major campaign contributor to the governor. We wound up running the story December 2014. And, howls of protest from Carlieros in the state. You know, everything's on the up and up. You're just wrong. But fortunately, Preet Bharara's office with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan also read the story and I guess had a different response. And they started looking into it.
In essence, today's complaint shines a light on yet another sordid side of the show-me-the-money culture that has so plagued government in Albany. We allege that Joseph Prococo, the former executive deputy secretary to the governor, and therefore one of the most powerful people in all of New York, was on the take. Specifically, we allege that over time, he solicited over $320,000 in bribes from two different companies with business before the state in exchange for official actions in their favor.
He was Andrew Cuomo's confidant. He was his best friend. He was a brother-like figure to the governor.
In the second scheme, we allege pervasive corruption and fraud in the Buffalo Billion Initiative and similar programs.
It ended up resulting in guilty verdicts against Alan Calieros, who was the guy who Cuomo really put on the prow of the ship to kind of lead so many of these big high-tech development efforts. And, of course, Joe Prococo, who was the governor's right-hand man.
He was attorney general at the time, and he said, enough is enough. We are going to take care of this once and for all. What we have seen is it's gotten worse.
The fact of the matter is this. Despite all the chest thumping from senior Republicans and Democrats, despite a push from the left and the right, Albany has done nothing, absolutely nothing, to respond to this scandal.
My sense from the people who work on the second floor is that it rattled them. They never expected one of their own to be doing this. And I think after that moment, the governor then now suddenly just became very combative, like right away.
Have you been in Albany? Have you covered government?
Andrew the bully. He bullies other elected officials. He bullies anyone who criticizes him. He even bullies the media with his reference to your small questions.
Cynthia Nixon, she was a celebrity. I think that she looked and saw that a third of the vote had gone against Cuomo in a former primary, and she and the advisors that she took on said, look, we don't have to build that many more votes in order to win against this guy.
He used the MTA like an ATM, and we see the result. He has had 7.5 years to avoid this very avoidable crisis in our New York City subway.
I think the difference, though, is this time Cuomo took it pretty seriously.
He spent millions and millions of dollars fighting her.
He enacted equal pay for all. That's Andrew Cuomo.
Mr. President, it's too much, and I'll say no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
Andrew Cuomo made that race, the 2018 race, about Donald Trump to great success over Mark Molinaro in particular.
Do you support Donald Trump?
I support anyone who is going to effectively make an investment.
Do you support Donald Trump?
Mr.
Do you support Donald Trump?
Mr. Molinaro,
you can't answer it.
When you're running for a third term, they got 8 years in place. And there's a lot of things that could go wrong. Some things have gone wrong. It's not like it's been a perfect 8 years. I'm sure the governor would say that himself. But when you look at the overall record, I think he's accomplished a lot.
The statewide races ended up being a slew of blowouts Tuesday night, starting with Andrew Cuomo, who, as expected, cruised to a win over Mark Molinaro. The governor, like his father before him, has now earned a third term.
And our progressive government has proven that we can provide opportunities for all New Yorkers.
His numbers have stayed solidly above 50%. Which is kind of where you need them to be. The public clearly doesn't have Andrew Cuomo fatigue.
Third terms are notoriously difficult. You know, I don't care who you are, Mike Bloomberg, his father, George Pataki, they're not good. What's going to be interesting is
Andrew Cuomo sees a lot of legacy projects. I think he's going to focus on a lot of the infrastructure projects he can get done.
The federal government may shut itself down, but it will never extinguish the Statue of Liberty's torch.
I have described Andrew Cuomo as the most fascinating political figure I have ever covered, and I think it's probably fair to say that he's the most fascinating political figure I will ever cover. In him, you see so much capacity, so much political wisdom, so much capacity for energetic implementation of policy. And you also see so many character-driven flaws that will rise up and kind of bite him and bite, you know, those around him, and will certainly bite his opponents as well.
Everyone calls Andrew Cuomo a bully. Okay, he's a bully who got you a minimum wage hike, same-sex marriage, and a strict gun control bill. You really care that he's a bully? Do you want someone who looks good, smiles a lot, and you'd happily hand your baby to, but who doesn't get anything accomplished for you? Or do you want the guy who doesn't really want to touch your child, but who, again, gets you legislative victories on issues that are important and that you care about?
It is New York's legacy to bring the light, to lead the way through the darkness, and I pledge to the people of the state of New York, that's what we will do together. Thank you and God bless you.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Additional funding provided by the Leo Cox Beach Philanthropic Foundation.